Welcome to Moadone Ivri. Glad to see you guys all back after another Easter break here. Very thankful we're celebrating the Lord's resurrection. And we are back to 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're actually right at the end of that chapter at verse 23, where, remember, Samuel was talking to the people about the king and quite harshly, but now he's comforting the people. Notice the gospel part of his sermon almost in verses 22 and 23. Remember verse 22 is actually a very important verse. We kind of went through it kind of quickly last time. But notice how what he says. I'll just translate. For Yahweh will not forsake his people. Notice he calls them Amo, his people. Samuel reminds them of the relationship that Yahweh actually initiated and started and made with Israel. So he calls him Amo, his people, on account of his great name. For Yahweh was willing to take you, notice, to make you for himself as a people. So notice he recalls the fact of Israel's election right there as the assurance that Yahweh is not going to forsake. And now notice he kind of switches to himself in verse 23. Gam anuki chalila li mechato la Adonai mechado lehit palel ba'ad kem. We'll stop there. Because now, no, I want you to, in this is very good practice with how the different particles work and prepositions, notice. Also, okay, so notice gam is a particle that usually means addition, also and even. So here it fits really well here. Also, as for me, anoki, chalila is kind of a negative interjection, usually translated far be it. Okay, and notice it commonly occurs with the preposition lamed. In English, we would translate, far be it from me. I don't know, maybe like this, may it not be to me or something like that. But again, as for me, far be it from me, mechato. Notice that this is from the verb chata, to sin. It is a call infinitive construct plus the preposition min. Notice we normally translate min as from, but notice how you translate it here. Far be it from me to sin, la'adonai, against Yahweh. So notice you have a lamed there. Far be it from me to sin against Yahweh, mechadol, by stopping. Notice that that again is a call infinitive construct with the preposition min in front of it. So just notice how our English understanding of what the author is trying to convey shows us how to translate these particles. You learn min is from, lamed is to, and yet you can't translate them that way in this context. Okay? So far be it from me to sin against God by stopping to pray. Lehit palel. Again, another infinitive, by stopping to pray, ba'ad kem, on your behalf. Okay? So notice that Samuel here is assuring the people that he's not going to stop interceding. Remember, the prophet is a crisis interventionist specialist. He not only brings God's word to the people, but he also brings the people's prayers and requests to God. So Samuel's not going to stop that. All right. So he says that first, but now he does the other half of what I just said. Ve horeti etkem bederek hatova vehayeshara. And I will teach. Can anyone see what the root of ve horeti is? And I will teach. See, it's from yara. It is a hifil. Notice those first yud verbs have that ho ending. Prefix, and I will teach. So it's from Yara, a hifil, perfect first common singular. And I will teach you, or instruct you, Bederek, in the way, the Tova, the good and the upright way. Alright? So he's going to also bring them God's word and lead them that way. Any questions on verse 23? Alright, verse 24. Ak Yeruet Yahweh Va'avad temoto be'emek be'kol levav kem. Okay. Ak. But, yeru. Now look at that word. See the root? What's the root? Good. Yare. To be afraid. To be afraid. This is a call imperative. common plural. Okay. Notice that the pointing is weird, and you actually have a little circle out there. Gives the Masoretic note. Three times you have this extra aleph is what it says there. There's a couple forms for the imperative if you look it up in the lexicon. But here's one of them. Okay. But fear Yahweh. Okay, so you have the imperative. Va'avadtem. Notice imperative followed by a vav plus perfect. Okay, you would also translate this as an imperative. Fear Yahweh and serve Him. We see that again. Moses does that a lot. Imperative followed by a vav plus second masculine, either singular or plural. And that's what you have here too. Be'emet, in truth. Usually I would probably give this a more explicit adverbial translation. And serve Him faithfully. See, bekol levavkem, with all your heart. Alright. Ki re'u et asher higdil imakem. Okay, for re'u, here's another imperative, this time from the root ra'a, to see, call imperative. For look, kind of almost like hine, for look, now notice here's the object, and it's kind of awkward here. Literally, it's, see that higdil? That's from the root gadol. It's a hifil, perfect, third masculine singular, to make great or to do great things. See? So you almost have to translate like this. For look at how He has done great things with you. See? How He has dealt grandly with you. Maybe it's a little more eloquent way to express what Samuel is trying to say. Alright, so notice he follows his assurances with another exhortation to obedience here. Fear Yahweh and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. And now he reminds them, look at what Yahweh has done for you. See, so it's in response to that that he suggests obedience. Okay? Verse 25, Ve'im hareya tareu, gam atem gam malkekem tisafu. But if, okay, now notice this next construction. You guys all know this. See the infinitive absolute? Hifil infinitive absolute from this double root, the geminate root ra'a, resh ein ein. So you have to do evil. And now notice tareu is, of course, a second masculine plural from the same root, hifil, to do evil. So, and if you do evil, and now harea, if you continue to do evil. Here the, I think the infinitive absolute stresses the continuance. If you keep doing evil, see, gam atem gam malkekem, both you and your king. Gam in English is both and. Both you and your king, kisafu. That is a nifal, imperfect, from, anyone get the root? From safa, to be swept away. Okay. Both you and your king will be swept away. Alright? Any questions about verse 25 or 24? Alright? Alright, good. Chapter 13, and right away we come to a big textual problem here. And you'll see it right away. Ben Shana Sha'ul Ben Malko. Right there. Well, I'll go a little farther. U Shate Shanim. Right there too. Malak Al Yisrael. Okay. Notice how you know it's kind of simple. The son of a year was Saul Ben Malko. When he became king. This is an infinitive construct, call infinitive construct from Malak to reign, with the preposition at the beginning and the third masculine singular suffix at the end. So notice that what you have missing there is how old he was. You would expect, you know, he was this 21 years old or something like that when he began to reign. And if you look at the apparatus, you will see that a lot of the manuscripts of the Septuagint leave verse 1 totally out. Alright? And so that's why you won't find it in some translations. I think some translations follow the Septuagint here. Some other also look, notice if you look at little letter B there, some manuscripts look like they have ages, certain ages. See, 30 and 21, you see that? So in the Masoretic text, it's the son of a year was Saul when he became king, which doesn't make any sense. Saul was 1 year old when he became king. See, doesn't, okay. And the other difficulty, notice with this, Shete Shanin, 2 years. And they're not sure how that fits syntactically in the sentence as well. And again, the Syriac actually leaves it out. But you could translate it like this, and for 2 years he reigned over Israel. All right. So that verse is a difficult verse. We go to verse 2. Va'yivchar lo Sha'ul shaloshet alafim miYisrael va'yihyu im Sha'ul alfaim b'mikmas u'vehar beit el ve'elef hayu im Yochanan ve'givat bin Yamin, ve'yeter ha'am shilach ish le'o halav. All right, looks complicated, but it's not. And Saul chose for himself. Notice the word order when you have a short preposition. This is the standard word order that we see. Verb, preposition, subject. And Saul chose for himself shaloshet alafim, 3,000 mi Yisrael, from Israel. Alright. Va'yihyu'im, and they were with Saul. Now here's the subject. Alpaim. Notice the form. See that it's a dual form, alpaim. So you would translate that as 2,000. And 2,000 were with Saul ben Mikmas, in Mikmas. Okay, which is some city or something. Mikmas. Alright. U'behar Beit El, and in the hill country of Bethel. Okay, so 2,000 were with Saul in Mikmas and in the hill country of Bethel. Okay, the Eleph and 1,000 Hayu. Notice that you here you have the plural anyway with Eleph, and 1,000 were with Jonathan, Givat Binyamin, in Gibeah. Of Benjamin. Okay, well, there's more than one Gibeah, in other words, so it's kind of identifying it. Okay, the Yeter simply means the remainder. That's a noun, remainder. And the remainder of the people, Shilach Ish, he sent each one to his tent. All right. That's why verse 1, notice, he, you know, if you say that he starts with verse 2, notice, that we're right at you know, as the narrative goes, remember Saul was anointed as king and Samuel had this speech. Saul chose 3,000 to serve him, so 2,000 he kept, 1,000 Jonathan had, and the rest of the people went back home and did their thing. So in other words, he got a kind of standing army, I suppose.
So with these, would this be an army, or would they be servants, or
probably a number of, probably, yeah, I think a lot would be army and then servants and other people. And notice it's already starting, you know, the politics of being a king, because they're going to have to be supported, and how's that going to work? The narrative doesn't really say. It's kind of interesting here. Because now you have another gap as we get to verse 3, because all of a sudden, Vayak Yochanan, Jonathan, Vayak, everybody see that? What's the root? Whenever you see the shortest, it's almost like the shortest root in the Bible. That's common, I shouldn't say that. What is it? Naka. See, right. It's a hifil from Naka. The hay drops off because it's shortened in the vav consecutive, and the nun drops out. The yud is not part of the root, so the only root letter is ka, the kaf. See, so vayak, and Jonathan struck at Netziv Pelishtim, struck the prefect or the officer Netziv, the leader of the Philistines, who Asher were in Geba, who were in Geba. Okay, another city. Vayishme'u Pelishtim, and the Philistines heard. And notice the Atnak, you pause there. Now just notice this, that in the next few verses he switches from a vav consecutive style to a subject verb style. And whether it's just a stylistic feature, you know, we kind of have seen kind of a more colloquial style in Samuel. Whether it's that, I don't know if there's any rhetorical purpose or not. But notice he first mentions that the Philistines heard. Now you have this long explanation about how the rest of Israel heard about it. All right, so see how this is kind of played out. Ve'sha'ul taka ba'shofar be'kol ha'aretz le'mor. Okay, so you have, and the Philistines heard, and Saul blew on the shofar throughout all the land. Lamor, thereby saying, in other words, the trumpet was a signal to Israel that something was going on. Thereby saying, Yishma'u ha'ivrim, let the Hebrews hear, or may the Hebrews listen. Okay. Now notice verse 4 also starts with the subject. Ve'kol Yisrael, and all Israel heard. So notice, first you have the Philistines heard. Now you have this kind of longer explanation of how Israel heard. See, and all Israel heard. Now you have to supply the messengers or something like that, saying, "Hikah Shaul, Saul struck." Hikah, again from Nakah. Saul struck at Netziv Pelishtim, the prefect of the Philistines. Vagam Nivash Israel. And also Israel has become odious. That Nivash is a Nifal from Baash. And it means to become odious, to become... Baash means to stink, to become stinking. I don't know if you have that word. To become a bad smell in someone's nose. That's
offensive?
Yeah. Offense? Right. It really means to become odious in English. I'm trying to think of how I can say it to you in English that would be good. To become stinking. Mm-hmm. Like in rotting, when something rots, it stinks and it becomes very odious is what we would say. That's what that word means. Okay. So Israel has become odious to the Philistines. This Baash is often used with the preposition bait. Has become odious to the Philistines. Okay. Vayitzaaku ha'am. And the people cried out, Acharei Shaul, after Saul at Gilgal. Okay. Cried out together, I guess. That's a nifal there. So it must be they cried out, kind of assembled with each other. It's kind of a reciprocal, maybe it's even called out to each other. After Saul at Gilgal. Okay. Notice again as the style that we've seen throughout Samuel, he doesn't put a lot of prepositions before these place names. We just have to supply in English at Gilgal. Just uses the accusative. Okay, any questions about verse 4? Alright. Still now notice subject verb. U Pelishtim ne'esfu, and the Philistines gathered. Here's the Nifal perfect from Sa'af. I'm sorry, from Asaf. Okay? And so the Philistines gathered, intransitive, gathered, lehilachim, in order to fight in Israel, with Israel. Okay, notice that hilachim is a nifal infinitive construct. That's common for this root. Fight with Israel. Okay? Sheloshim, 30 elef, 30,000 rekev, chariots, the Sheshet Alafim, and 6,000 Parashim, and 6,000 horsemen. That's a big force. Now you kind of know why we got the numbers at the beginning of the chapter, see? Saul had 2,000 with him, and Jonathan had 1,000. Here comes the Philistines, 30,000. Big time. Okay, and people, Kacho Asher Al Sifat Hayam, and people as the sand which is on the lip, or the shore of the sea, La Rov. In multitude, la ro. Okay, vayaalu, and they went up. See, that's from Allah, and they went up. Vayachanu from Chana, and they encamped in Mikmas, Kidmat Beit Aven. Notice that Kidma is in construct, and it means east of Beth Aven. All right, so you can kind of picture where the Philistines were gathering. All right, questions through verse 5?
So this episode is kind of interesting because what you have is you have Jonathan seemed to be the one to take the initiative
yep.
and cause this whole thing.
Yep.
in somewhat of an unplanned, I guess, kind of manner.
Yep.
Saul took the credit.
Yep.
People got scared.
Right.
Because of this reaction. So, I mean, what...
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because Saul was at Gilgal and stayed at Gilgal, as you will see. I mean, there's some gaps in the narrative. What happened between the picking of the army and Jonathan? You just have this event. Jonathan struck... You know, we have no idea about the circumstances of how this guy died. He struck him, and the Philistines heard about it. And then, see, that's why I'm wondering, you know, there's this switch here. Why isn't this a Vav consecutive? Is there some rhetorical thing, kind of, is the author wants to emphasize this scene? But it goes on for three or, you know, a number of verses, which, I don't know. You know, we should just keep reading in Samuel with looking at this in mind, looking at this feature to see when there's this switch, to see if it's just a colloquial kind of less standard style or not. Because it would seem to me that that verse 3, that Veshaul Takaz Saul blew, that that... Does the author want to say that that happened after the Philistines heard? Or kind of at the same time?
Yeah.
See? The Philistines heard, and at the same time, you know, relatively, Saul heard about it too, and he blew on the horn, and all Israel heard, see? So that they were all kind of here, they all kind of heard at the same time. But I'm not quite sure, actually. Okay? I think you could interpret it either way. All right, verse 6 then. The Ish Yisrael, Ra'u. Notice again, subject, verb. And here's a collective. And the men of Israel, Ra'u. Collective, notice the Ish construed with a plural verb. Again, like I said before, it's characteristic of later Hebrew in general, but you have a lot of exceptions. And again, maybe it's more indicative of a colloquial kind of style. And the men of Israel saw, this is funny, saw ki tzar lo. That, see, tzar means trouble. All right, or, yeah. Saw that trouble was to him, namely the people. So, in English you would say, the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble. So the Hebrew, biblical Hebrew for he's in trouble is ki tzar lo. Okay? That they're in trouble. Ki nigas. Ha'am. Nagas, this is a Nifal, means to be oppressed. Okay, the people saw that they were in trouble, that the people, for the people were Nagas, for they were oppressed. All right, so evidently they felt the Philistine threat very terribly. Okay, now here's what happens. Vayit chavu ha'am. And so the people hid themselves. Notice that this is a hit pael from Chava. This is the same word that Adam and Eve did after they sinned. So the people hid ba-me'arot, in caves, and in chavachim, and in the thorns, okay, and in selaim, and in the rocks, u-ba-zerichim, and in the, this word is only used here, so don't put it on a vocab card, and in the tunnels, or something like that, and in Borot, and in the cisterns. So you get this idea of the Philistine threat that people felt, you know, even oppressed before anything started even, and scattered. And notice where they're hiding in all the nooks and crannies, we'd say. Okay? The Ivrim and Hebrews, Avru, crossed Hayarden, crossed the Jordan, Eretz Gad, to the land of Gad, and Gilad, and Gilead. Okay. Veshaul Odenu, but Saul, as for Saul, Odenu, still he was ba Gilgal. Still he was in Gilgal. Alright. So you got the people kind of going crazy here. Saul kind of stayed in Gilgal. Okay. Vekol Ha'am, and all the people, now see Chardu, that usually means to tremble. So it could mean, and all the people kind of came trembling after him or hurried after him, Kaylor Baumgartner suggests, something like that. All right? Any questions on 7, first of all? So we kind of see what's going on. It's kind of a striking picture that he paints for us. Va-yochel. Look at that word. Va-yochel. See it? All right. This is kind of good practice for us. What is the root, first of all? Can anyone see what the root would be?
Is it just Yachal?
Good. It's Yachal. It's from Yachal. Notice that if you just look at the consonants, you have Yud, Yud, Chet, Lamed. The consonants would have you read this as a PL. The word means to wait in the PL. So if you read the consonants, it would be Vayechel. Vayechel. But notice the Masoretes don't want you to read a PL. They want you to read a Hifil. So in other words, that second Yud would be a Vav. Okay? So they want you to read Vayechel. That's why you have that holem there. So here's a good example of a Kari Kativ reading. And he waited for Shivat Yamin, for 7 days, La Moed, for the appointed time which Shemuel. It's literally for the appointed time which Samuel. See, notice that again, in the Masoretic text, it's very awkward. And some suggest that you add something like, for the appointed time when Samuel said, or something like that. All right, and I think you'll see that if you look at the little letter B, you have Amar there that some manuscripts have, or Seem, Amar or Seem they add, which Samuel established. See, they want a verb there. We don't have it. Okay? Velo Vashemo, but Samuel did not come HaGilgal, to Gilgal. Vayapetz, and the people, here's what's the root of Vayapetz. You see it?
Poots.
Very good. Poots. It's a call, imperfect vav consecutive from poots. Ha'am yaputs. And the people scattered me'alah from him. Okay, so they came to him. But when Samuel didn't come, they were just waiting around 7 days. And so they started to scatter. Okay, we can't wait here. We don't have any direction. All right? We'll do verse 9, and then we'll quit here. Vayomer Sha'ul. Then Saul said, Hagishu Eli. The Hagishu is a Hifil from Nagash. Hifil imperative from Nagash. So if a nun was there, it'd be Han Gishu. Han Gishu. So it's bring near to me Ha'olah, the burnt offering, Vehashalamim, and the fellowship offerings. Vaya'al Ha'olah. And he offered up. Notice that this is a Hifil from Allah. And he offered up Ha'olah, the burnt offering. Okay, he didn't wait for Samuel. That's the implication. You know, nothing's been said yet, but you guys know kind of what happens here. All right. So Saul wasn't long into his... You know, it's interesting, if it was indeed 2 years, he had kind of substantial reign, but if that's not there, then kind of almost immediately Saul got into trouble. I mean, any questions through verse 9? All right, it gets interesting here. Let's keep a track on kind of what, you know, some of these stylistic pieces we're pointing out to see how it plays itself out in the rest of the day. Thanks very much.